Chapter 15. The days of Counselor Gallius Rax are busy. Busier than even he anticipated. For the act of running an empire is a complicated feat, and he can only delegate so much. Some things require his hand. Many things do, in fact. And it is vital that he remain the one in control. In the morning, everything is administrative. He sits at a desk under a tent atop the roof of the main building. This vantage point allows him to gaze out over their base here in the shadow of Carbon Ridge on Jakku. From here, he can see the yield of his efforts laid bare. The data on his screen is brought to life as his empire grows to power. All-terrain armored transports march the perimeter. A line of AT-STs wait on the left. Ranks of TIE fighters wait on the right. And above, the ghosts of Star Destroyers, ready to drop from the sky and slice the enemy in twain like an executioner's blade. Day by day, the Empire grows. The weakness from within is cut out, like a soft, overripe part of the fruit sliced free and left on the floor. And the strong are summoned. They come here. They come to his testing ground. They come to his home. He draws a deep, centering breath, as he is wont to do. In that breath, he smells the scents of the planet on which he was raised. The smell of sun-warmed stone. The stink of sand. A heady whiff of something dead. It dries out the inside of his nose. The rest of him is that way, too. The moisture wicked free from his insides. All of the Empire is hardening. A fatty cut of meat cured into a bitter, leathery strip that has no purpose but to sustain. Sometimes he stops and looks in a mirror. Even he, who has kept up a rigorous physical regimen since he left this planet, looks tightened, stripped down, worn away. The transformation is a pleasing one. I am metal, hammered into a blade. As he does this, he hums to himself an ancient madrigal called Treachery and Countenance, a favorite of Palpatine's. Soon he is done regarding himself and his empire. He goes then and meets with his inner council. The general, Old Man Borum, the architect of the new stormtrooper program, Brendel Hux, the propagandist, Ferrik Obdur, and by hologram, Grand Moff Rand. Rax tells them that war is coming.
It's inevitable, he explains almost dismissively. We've seen now one rebel ship enter our space, barely managing to escape. Not long after, we detected a probe droid and a scout ship hunting us from the next sector. We've all seen Mothma's precious little speech, though I'm told she is bound in the torpid politics of the New Republic. I assure you, the battle is coming.
Coming slowly, Borum says.
And he's right. Rax wonders why that is. He's been assuring his council that the attack from the New Republic is imminent, and it should have been. But the days pass, and no attack has come. At first he worried that the Republic had a different strategy in mind, one he could not foresee. But now he suspects the reality is all the duller. They've gone timid. The New Republic is not a military entity. It is one of democracy. And it is painfully naive to think that democracy can work on a galactic scale. It is a very bad idea to expect a starship piloted by 1,000 monkey lizards to do anything but drive itself straight into the sun. Borum harumphs and crosses his arms.
I grow impatient. We can stand on alert for only so long. It wearies the men. It tests the soul.
My soul is indeed tested, Hodnar Borum. Rand, ever the taut pragmatist, says,
Let them arrive to the battle as slow as they would like. It gives us more time to bolster our numbers. With each day, we see new ships join us. Just today, the veterans of Ryloth joined us in the Star Destroyer Diligent.
The messaging of our occupation here,
Obdur starts to say, but Rax cuts him off with a hissing shush. Obdur is an admirable lout, and truly Rax appreciates the power of propaganda. It is a necessary and theatrical component of what they do, and Rax loves nothing more than he loves theater. But Obdur's function dwindles. There is no more message. The value of propaganda is nearly zero, unless it could be used to taunt the New Republic into attacking. No, that would be too bold on the face of it. A magic trick is best performed when the audience doesn't know it's a trick at all. It is decided. He will have Obdur killed. It's no great loss. Obdur was a staunch ally of Sloane, and look how she turned out. So disappointing. Ending him must be done quietly, though. Rax will not bloody his own hands. Not in this. Perhaps this is a test for Hux's new recruits. Speaking of Hux, the man looks worried. As usual, his broad shoulders curl inward. His posture has been wretched of late. This world is having its effect on him. And admittedly, Rax has been making inordinate demands of the man and his talents. Thing is, Gallius needs Hux. Not just now, but for what comes later. He must be preserved in sanity and in body. It may be time to confide in the man more completely. Of course, that went poorly with Sloane. A conundrum. One that will have to wait. For now, a different matter calls. One that demands he bloody his hands. Rax leaves them before the meeting is over. He heads downstairs, past the prefab training facility, where troopers gather and battle, encircled by their mates and cheered on by bloodthirsty officers. Betting is fast and furious. Their training is more brutal now. Survivalist, animalistic, as fits this vicious world. He has no time to watch them maul one another. Rax heads deeper still. It's cooler down here in the sub-level. Pipes and conduits line the hallways, circumnavigating the base's necessary mechanisms. He winds through the hallways and finds the door. The room beyond is mostly just storage of unimportant things, uniforms and manuals mostly, both elements of a more refined empire, an empire that cannot endure. In this room, a very old man waits. His hands are bound behind his back. His knees touch the floor, like he's praying. How appropriate. Anchorite Kolob, Rax says. The man lifts his head, his eyes narrowing to tired slits as he stares through the half-dark of the room. Even from here, Rax can see how old he has become. Everything looks pinched and puckered. Deep lines and liver-dark blotches mark his face, his neck, his hands.
Who is that? Who are you?
The voice is trembling and cracked.
You don't remember me, Rax says.
Should I?
Is your mind weakening, or am I merely that forgettable?
The anchorite sighs.
My mind is flint sharp. It is capable of seeing all the suffering of the waking world, just as it is sure to remember the Eremite's precepts on torment.
Don't. I do not require your spiritual lectures. I require only that you see me. Do you know me?
Nay!
But Kolob's eyes widen and focus. His mouth moves to form a smile as the memory forms. And then, appropriately, the smile falls away.
Ah, yes, the boy who left. the boy at the margins. Galley, is that you?
It is, Kolob. The man's shoulders sag.
It's been you all along.
Pardon?
You've been the one stealing our children.
A small smile grows on Rax's face. And why would you say that?
Because you did it then, too. As a boy, you wooed the other children away from the orphanage. Brev, Narwhal, Katina, they became wayward as you were wayward. Wild and rebellious.
No, not rebellious. I merely found purpose away from your foolish faith. And the children found that purpose, too.
And what became of them, Galley?
I killed them, to keep a secret. They fulfilled their purpose.
And why are you stealing children now? It isn't your Imperials coming for them. It's thugs and hunters and scavs coming for them in the night. But it's your hand I see directing them. Why hide it?
Why hide it indeed? I am taking the children because they too will serve a purpose for me. They will be the first.
The first what?
But that Rax will not answer. Behind him, someone emerges from the shadows of the hallway. A man in a red mask, pointed and demonic, cast out of metal and fixed with hell-black rivets. That man is Yup Tashu, once advisor to Emperor Palpatine, and now an advisor to Counselor Rax. Tashu says, "The Anchorite's faith has ties to the Force, to the light side. 1,000 years ago, the Anchorites of Jakku bound themselves to the Jedi. But now, the dark side prevails." Tashu bows his head and hands Rax a long knife with a black blade.
"Look at you,"
Kolob says.
"A little savage who learned to sing. Knowing what fork to use makes you no less of a feral child. Here you are, come to show me how much you've grown. And yet I see you've grown not a whit. You speak of purpose. What is our purpose today, little Galley? Why bring me here? No, you don't need to answer that. I see the purpose is now in your hand. Though after all this time, why?"
Rax steps into the room. The knife is light, but feels heavy. Its blade is knocked with teeth. Rax closes in on the bound man, speaking as he does. "You told me that children were best when they were seen and not heard. You said that children were meant to be quiet and to serve, to kneel and to suffer, and to not ask for a life of any merit, for service is reward enough."
"I did say those things. I believe them."
Rax leans in. His voice lowers to a whisper. "You believe lies. It is not our job to suffer. It is not our lot to simply serve. My destiny was greater than that. If I had listened to you, I'd still be here on this rock, kneeling for you, praying for you, listening to your bone chimes ring, doing the chores you demanded I do. But I have only one chore here today."
He thrusts the blade into the man's middle.
He works it deeper. His hand grows warm and wet.
"Galley!"
"Gallius Rax, you mean. No more children will be swept aside by your hand. No more will be made to serve the Anchorites." The man smiles, a grim red smile.
"I told you all of life was suffering. And for you,
The suffering is just beginning. You are hunted, Gally. All your plans will unravel.
He slumps backward, the blade freed with a faint sucking sound as he falls away, dead. It is done. Rax feels a great weight lifted from him. A hand on his shoulder eases him back. Tashu says quietly in his ear,
"A necessary sacrifice. The dark side is stronger. Our mission here is blessed now."
"Yes, it is. The true mission, at least." He nods and goes along with what Tashu says. Though the man has knowledge greater than most, even still, he is a madman. An ardent believer in the black-edged side of the Force. And Rax cares nothing for such mysticism. But if it appeases Tashu, then the illusion that he, too, is a believer may commence. He'll need Tashu, after all. Now Tashu says,
"I do not wish to rush the sacrifice. I want to gift you the time to revel. But time is narrow, and you have a visitor."
"A visitor?"
"Yes. Come."
They go deeper into the underground, around a bundling of power cables, past a coupling of ion panels, into a pitch-black hallway. The lights come on. There at the end is a figure in a red cloak. Rax knows who, or what, it is. He steps forward, suddenly concerned. What is there to report? He knows it must be something, and it must be important. A visit from a sentinel like this does not come lightly. The figure in the cloak turns. The face of Emperor Sheev Palpatine looks back upon him. That face flickers across the glass bulge of the droid's mask. It is artifice, but even as a proxy, it is close enough to the real thing to haunt him. Other sentinels were merely messengers. They appeared, gave commands, and were gone. But these, the ones reserved for Rax and their master plan, are smarter. They're sentient. Though none truly match Palpatine's strategic brilliance and his dark, terrible mind, they approximated enough. The voice, too, is close enough to curdle his blood. The droid sentinel speaks in Palpatine's voice.
"The farthest perimeter has been breached."
"Show me."
From the sleeve of the red cloak, the droid's black metal hand emerges. In the center of its skeletal palm is a projector. And now that circle beams a holographic image into the air, gently turning. The three-dimensional image shows a caravan traveling across the valley floor. Wheel cars and beast mounts and wanderers. At the end of it all is a raised platform held aloft on hover rails, eased along by men holding heavy gauge chains. And on that platform is a hut. Nima. The droid's thumb flicks reflexively, like a spasm, but one that has a function. With every twitch, the image changes. It shows the caravan from different angles, sometimes at a distance, sometimes close. The valley is littered with cams, long hidden under the sand and dust, or embedded in the rock. All part of a network that's been in place for nearly 3 decades now. The image suddenly zooms in on the platform, and Rax gasps. The image shows a woman. Her black hair is pulled back under a winding of ratty ribbon. Her eyes are concealed behind thick goggles. Her skin is dark. He knows her. He would know Grand Admiral Ray Sloane anywhere.
"She lives," he says. "And," Tashu says, "she closes in on the observatory."
How soon? It is the sentinel who answers.
Given the rate of movement, 3 days.
3 days. Good. That is plenty of time to end their journey. To the droid, Rax says, arm the defenses.
Sloan, I admire your tenacity, but I have to finish this.